I'm excited about Pentecost because I'm realizing that unless God shows up, really, what's the point? Unless God's involved, then we can all just go home. Because we can put on services, we can put on events, we can have groups meeting in the church. All of that is good stuff, but we're not a social club. Unless the power of God, unless the Holy Spirit is filling us and working through us to bring his kingdom, then there's no point. That's why I'm excited about Pentecost. Because Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit shows up. And for the disciples then, everything changes. I'm not very good at remembering the different Christian festivals that happen throughout the year. It's why I'm not an Anglican, because they've got kind of Epiphany's Day and then St. Teresa's Day and some, you know the spiel there. Every fourth Sunday, then there's some special event happening because 300 years ago, St. Watson the Fella did something and we've all got to celebrate that. I'm not very good at the set days throughout the year, but I do know the basic ones. I know Christmas, I know Easter, and I know Pentecost, and that's it. The rest of them, you're going to have to remind me as we go through. I learned harvest last year, but apparently we can just pick when harvest is in order to best fit the rest of the services. So that's great. So we've got Christmas, Easter, Pentecost. I think that you can live somewhere on that scale. Some people just love Christmas. They love the idea that God comes close to us. What wonderful truths. That the God of creation came and dwelt with us and came close to us. But some people just stop there. They pray, they ask God to come close to us, they have a concept that God is with them, and that's it. Some people stop at Christmas. Some people get to Easter. Christmas, we know that God is with us. Easter, we know that Jesus has won. We know that death has been conquered. We know that our sin is dealt with. We know that because of Easter, we can live whole lives. And then some people stop there. They love the idea that God's close to them. They love the truths that Jesus has won. But there's still more to come. Because there's Pentecost. Not just that God is close to you. He is. Not just that God has dealt with your sin and allowed you to have a relationship with him. That's also true. But also that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to change the world around you. It's not just that we have God with us and that we believe some truths about him. It's that we can have the power of God within us, acting through us, in order for us to make a difference to our world. We become agents of the kingdom. You'll notice that in Acts, it begins with this story of Jesus going up to heaven after the resurrection. And I like that, because when you read the Gospels, that bit always comes at the end. Jesus goes up to heaven. It's almost like that's the end of the story. But I like Acts because it puts it at the beginning. Jesus goes up to heaven. That's the start of our adventure with God. The thing that's at the beginning is Jesus goes up to heaven so that the Holy Spirit can come and fill us and we can start bringing about his kingdom. God's not just close to you, though he is. There aren't just some truths about God dealing with your sin, though those are true. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can know the power of God within you. You can do the stuff. You can be equipped to bring about his kingdom. I was reading this passage. And I find it interesting that the disciples meet Jesus after he's been raised from the dead. And one of the first questions that they say to him, in fact, in the version I was reading this week, they say to him, "Jesus, are you going to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Jesus, are you going to free Israel and are you going to restore our kingdom? How often do we treat God like a cosmic vending machine? Jesus, how long until you sort it out and you restore my kingdom? Jesus, how long until you fix the world's problems and you give me what I want? Restore my kingdom. Restore our kingdom. God, when will you just stop being God and fit yourself into my agenda? I pray like that all the time. I pray like that far too much. I'm asking God, God, will you just do what I want for a change? God, will you just listen to what I, and just do that? God, won't you fix the problems and restore my kingdom? Jesus responds, don't you worry about that. God will bring Israel in the time. He's got that in hand. But I am sending you. We come to God with our list of demands. God, will you do this, 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 and this for me, please? Thank you, amen. And God says, I've got the bigger picture in hand, but I am sending you. I am sending you. This morning, you can know that God says to you, I'm sending you. I've got a plan. I want more zeal for his kingdom than I want an obsession with my own. I want more zeal for God's kingdom to actually make a difference and bring his kingdom on earth than I want to be obsessed with my own kingdom, my own plans, the own things that I want. And Jesus says, I'm sending you as witnesses. Jesus' kingdom is coming, and you can be a part of it. You don't have to stop at Christmas knowing that your God is close to you. You don't have to stop at Easter knowing that God's dealt with your sin. Those things are fantastic, but you can move on to Pentecost and know that God can use you to change the world. God can use you to change your world, the people around you. God can use you to make a difference now, to bring his kingdom. And he says these three things. I'm going to give you, I'm going to choose you, I'm going to place you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, I'm sending you to be a witness in Jerusalem. Have you ever tried telling people about Jesus? Have you ever tried maybe even just admitting you're a Christian? Ever tried explaining to them what you believe? Does anyone else find it's much easier when you don't know them? Just me? I can tell you, I have preached on Ugandan radio. Easy. Not a problem. I went there. I didn't really know what I was saying, but it was translated, so I assume the translator was better a preacher than I was. They can say what they like, can't they? And I preached, and it was easy. You sit in a room and you talk into a microphone like this, and you know that a couple of hundred people, I don't know how many people were listening, are hearing you explain the gospel. Fantastic. That's easy, isn't it? I find it easy to stand on a stage in front of a lot of people I don't know and explain to them the good truth about Jesus. I've even been to far off places like the north, where people are different up there. They talk to you. And I've gone up to strangers and I've told them about Jesus. You know what? It wasn't that hard. Once you get over yourself, once you realise that these people are never going to see you again, it's actually not that difficult. Go up to people. Tell you what is hard. Admitting to your colleagues that you're a Christian. Tell you what is difficult. When you're sitting around a group of people that are your family and trying to explain to them why you believe what you believe. I wasn't long in my last job when I got invited to go round someone's for dinner, and a group of the other teachers were going. And I didn't know them very well, so I was honoured to be invited, really. And we're going around, we're having dinner, and unfortunately, one of them had had a very bad experience with a Christian that week. Now, that's bad for two reasons. One, it was a bad experience that shouldn't have happened. And two, you can guess what the topic of conversation was for the next 5 minutes, where it felt like they were just taking it in turns to relay their terrible experiences of Christians and how awful the church were and how full of hypocrites they all were. And then it comes to me. That's hard. That's difficult. to talk to the people who are your colleagues that you've only just met and swallow your pride and take a deep breath and say, I'm a Christian. That was a tough thing to say. Preaching to on Ugandan radio, easy, doddle. Jesus says, I'm going to send you to be witnesses in Jerusalem, where you already are, to the people that you already know. I'm sending you to be witnesses to your family. I'm sending you to be witnesses to your friends. I'm sending you to be witnesses to your colleagues. You don't have to travel far and wide to do this. Where you are, God can use you to be a witness about him. Where you are. I think it's really good that we pray for Dan and Becky, who are in Nepal. But I don't think we should call them missionaries unless we acknowledge that everyone in this room is also a missionary. It's amazing what they do, and it's good that we prayerfully support them. And Jesus talks about ends of the earth that we'll talk about in a minute. But they are no more missionaries than you are. The only difference is that they admit it more readily. They're no more missionaries than you. Why? They've been put in a place and God is using them to bring his kingdom. How is that different from you? God's put you in a place and he can use you to bring his kingdom. When we understand that all of us are missionaries, then a change of address is not important. Whether or not you do it in Earl's Cove, in Halstead, in Colchester, in Nepal. Jesus says, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where you are. Even though it's difficult with the people that you know, you are my witnesses there. And let me tell you this. I don't just mean that every time you have dinner with someone, you have to explain to them the 4 points of the gospel. You don't. People will stop having dinner with you. It would be boring. Jesus says, be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Whatever you say, you're a witness about Jesus. Whatever you say. You'll probably be the only Bible a lot of people read. A lot of your colleagues won't know another Christian better than you. A lot of your family won't know another Christian better than they know you. It doesn't matter what you say or do, you're still a witness for Jesus. The question is, how good a witness are you going to be? They're still going to associate you with Christ. The question is, what view of Christ are they going to have, having spent time with you? Christmas is about God coming close to us, getting involved in our mess, getting involved in what we do day to day. God became man. The Word became flesh, John says. He made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God did that for you. Now you can do that for others. We have seen his glory. When I die, I would love it if people said, we saw God's glory in him. You can show the glory of God to the people that you're now. You can represent Jesus. And the truth is, you already do. The question is, how good a representation are you? Commit to his kingdom and you can show people what God really looks like. I don't want to hear stories about people who have bad impressions of Christians and therefore a bad impression of Christ. We're all missionaries. And the way we act and live in Jerusalem, where we currently are, in Earl's Cone, in Halstead, in Colchester, that brings about his kingdom. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria. We can be witnesses to the people around us, and then can we be witnesses to people that we're meant to hate. I find it interesting that the first thing the disciples say to Jesus is, so Jesus, when are you going to sort Israel out? When are you going to rebuild Israel and build our kingdom? And why is that? It's because for all of these disciples' lives, they've been taught that God's chosen people are Israel, and that is it. They have been taught that God's promises and covenant is for the Jewish people and no one else. And Jesus comes to them and says, will you be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria? They're obsessed with Israel. They're obsessed with their own country. And Jesus says, guys, this isn't just for you. This is for everyone. These are for the Judeans and the Samaritans. You know those people you're meant to hate? It's for them as well. For them as well. I found it really powerful last week when we had RJM coming. It really moved me. It's a difficult subject when we hear about slavery around the world. Horrific. The abuses that are being perpetrated around the world. And we heard that story. And I don't know about you, but part of me, you just hate the people that do it, don't you? The abusers. It's horrible. You hear the stories and you just think, how could anyone do that? And then we all stood up and we sang Amazing Grace. And I'm sure you all know that the person who wrote that, he was a human trafficker. He was involved in the slave trade. The guy who wrote those words was involved in human trafficking as much as the people who committed those abuses that we saw in the video. Yet he encountered God. He encountered the grace of Jesus. And he wrote those words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And we all sung it. Because the wonderful truth and the difficult truth of Jesus' grace is even for the people that we think are so far away from God's love, God still loves them. Even the people that we think, how could anyone possibly love them? God does. How, we think of these people that we think, but surely God, they're way beyond even any kind of redemption. And Jesus hangs on the cross and says, I died for them as much as I died for you. Paul gets this because he writes it in Romans. He said, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more having been reconciled shall we be saved through his life? Jesus says, be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Represent me to the people in your family, in your street, in your workplace. Represent me when you go to the co-op. And he says, be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria. We can show grace to people that we're not meant to like. We can show grace to people that we disagree with. The disciples and the Samaritans had a lot to disagree with. Centuries of fighting and hatred and mistrust. I was reading a book by Philip Yancey this week, really good on prayer. And he talked about how for ages he used to pray for peace in the world. He used to pray for the American government. And he said, I never prayed for the Russians. They were the enemy. They were the enemy. But I tell you what, I believe in a God who can redeem people no matter how far they've strayed. When my dad was a kid, Romania was a no-go place for Christians. You might remember it, Ceaușescu. You couldn't get in there if you were a Christian. You couldn't get a Bible in there if you tried. Romania was a no-go place for Christians. But today, my oldest friend runs an orphanage in Romania and tells the kids about Jesus. Isn't that incredible? God's changed that nation from somewhere that was so far away. They were people we were meant to hate because they were communists. And God has redeemed it. Now you can be a Christian in Romania and not suffer consequences. I really pray that in 20 years we can say the same about North Korea. We can say the same about countries like Saudi Arabia. We can say the same about countries where there's so much persecution. God's on the move. And if we commit to his kingdom, we can see a change even in people that are meant to be our enemies. If you feel like an outsider, then this kingdom's for you. If you feel like you've been rejected by society, then this kingdom's for you. If you feel like you've got nothing to give, this kingdom is for you. Because Jesus is on the side of the underdog, on the side of the Samaritans, on the side of the oppressed. Jesus is on the side of the people at the edge. And we can demonstrate that by the way that we treat outsiders, by the way that we welcome guests, by the way that we talk to people who we disagree with. We can show God's grace. And we can win the world for Jesus because of his kingdom. And finally, You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where you are, to your family. You can be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria, to people that you don't like. And you can be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. John Wesley wrote this: I look on all the world as my parish. Thus far I mean that in whatever part of the world I am at, I judge it meet, right, and my burden duty to declare unto all that are willing to hear the glad tidings of salvation. For Wesley, it didn't matter where he was. Still the same. Doesn't matter who you meet, still the same. Can we communicate to people the glad tidings of salvation? Can we communicate to people how much God loves them? Can we communicate to people how much that they are worth because Jesus died for them? Can we communicate to people that there is a kingdom that is better than the Tory manifesto, than the Labour manifesto, than the Green Party manifesto? It doesn't matter what these people say, I know a kingdom that is better than that. Can we communicate to people that there is a better kingdom to live for? Doesn't matter where you are. Jesus says, be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. I was really inspired by this. A couple of my friends do some work in Uganda, which is like in the middle of Africa. And they talked, and I've always found them so inspiring. I mean, we love stories of people like this, don't we? It's like Dan and Becky. They're incredible. They kind of give up the safety and comforts of like the NHS and Britain, and they go to these places where they're fraught with danger, and they go in order to try and make a difference. And I'm inspired. But they stood up and they just said, guys, we want to say thank you to you. We are the thin end of a wedge. They said, we might be there on the ground doing this stuff, but we can only do that because you pray. We can only do that because you give. We can only do that because you support us. I thought that is true. I can't go to Uganda and do what they do. I'd burn. I'd turn red so easily. But I can pray for them. I can support them. I can sponsor a kid. I can give. It's the same with Dan and Becky. We can't all go to Nepal, but we can support them and we can pray for them. We can hear their stories and commit to praying for them every day for a week. We can support the mission of God that's going on all around the world. I was really inspired when I heard Brother Yun talk. He's the guy, heavenly man, heavily persecuted in China. And I just thought I'd share this good news story with you as we wrap up. Too often it's easy to get focused on just what's in front of us, isn't it? The state of Earl's Cone, the state of Houston, the state of Colchester. But we need to look up. We need to see that God is on the move all around the world. I mentioned Romania. God's on the move all around the world. Like in China. Brother Yun said, he was part of this underground missionary movement. I don't know what the numbers are. They are crazy. Is it 28,000 people a day are becoming Christians? Something like that. It is unbelievable what God's doing in China. And Brother Yun said this. He said, you know what? You, and he was talking to me as a Westerner, if you try and go into an Arab country and tell them about Jesus, you're getting kicked out. You can't do it. I can't go into Saudi Arabia and start telling people about Jesus. We are not welcome there because of a whole history of things. But he said, me, as a Chinese person, welcomed with open arms. And he painted this picture of God on a global scale in creating this incredible way for the gospel to spread through the Middle East. And it's not through Western missionaries. It's through Chinese missionaries. Chinese people are being equipped and risen up in these churches, these house churches, and being sent off to Arab countries where they are welcomed with open arms in order to spread the gospel. Isn't that good? I wouldn't have thought of that. Even places that we think are so closed to what God's doing, God makes a way. God makes a way. I love Pentecost. I love the languages. I love the diversity. I love to remember that this kingdom isn't just for me. It's not just for Britain, it's for the whole world. Jesus says, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. One of my favourite passages in the Bible is this in Galatians 3. In Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Even this morning, we've got lots of different nationalities represented. That's what heaven's going to be like. We're not all going to speak English. We're not even all going to speak Hebrew. Just imagine heaven. Thousands upon thousands of different languages. All worshipping God. We can be a part of that kingdom that crosses boundaries, that extends around the whole world, as we're witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. God, we want more of your fire. We want more of your Holy Spirit. We want to be ambassadors of your kingdom. I pray that we would know that we are all missionaries, that we are all witnesses. Help us to be better missionaries. Help us to be better witnesses. Help us to better show people your love, your grace, your mercy, and your kingdom. I thank you that your grace is for everyone, even those we are taught to hate, even those that do terrible things. I thank you that your grace and your love does triumph, that you make a way for reconciliation because of your cross. And I thank you that we are part of something that is going on all around the world, in countries that we would have thought it impossible to see your kingdom break out in. Jesus, I thank you that your kingdom is advancing. And I thank you that we can be a part. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.